And then when I started to see consistently, okay, we're at $70,000 again, or we're at $75,000 this month. We're at $60,000 and we still have 2 weeks to go in the month. Okay, right? Things are strong. Things are moving.
Mon nom est Antoine Gagné et je vous souhaite la bienvenue au 44e épisode du podcast Hypercroissance. Avant d'écouter l'épisode d'aujourd'hui, je vous invite à vous abonner sur Spotify, Apple Podcasts ou sur votre plateforme de balado préférée afin d'être notifié des nouveaux épisodes qui arrivent tous les lundis matin. Également, l'épisode d'aujourd'hui est présenté et produit par G7 Media, une agence de publicité Facebook. En gérant fièrement plus de 1 million de dollars de publicité Facebook par mois, G7 Media aide depuis 8 ans maintenant les entreprises à accélérer leur croissance via l'entremise de la publicité Facebook et Instagram. Si vous désirez être au courant des meilleures pratiques dans l'industrie en ce qui concerne la pub Facebook, je vous invite à écouter le podcast Social Selling qui est mis en ligne tous les mercredis matin. L'équipe de G7 Media vous livre chaque semaine des études de cas réelles qui vont pouvoir vous aider à améliorer les performances de vos campagnes. Faire le saut et se dédier à temps plein dans son entreprise est une décision qui peut parfois être difficile à prendre. Entre nos factures à payer et notre style de vie, il est souvent beaucoup plus facile de garder son emploi actuel que de se consacrer à 110% dans son nouveau projet. Maintenant, est-ce qu'il peut y avoir un entre-deux à tout ça? Est-ce qu'on peut se lancer dans un projet entrepreneurial, avoir du succès et tout de même garder son emploi à 40 heures semaine? Mon invité du jour, Steve Malia, président et fondateur de l'entreprise Ontario Telescope, va vous expliquer comment il a été capable de bâtir une entreprise générant 5 millions de chiffres d'affaires annuels et ce, tout en gardant son emploi à temps plein. Ça peut paraître un peu fou, mais oui, Steve est capable de gérer à lui seul une entreprise générant plusieurs millions de dollars et arrive à se présenter à son emploi tous les matins. Sans plus attendre, ma discussion avec Steve Malia. Steve Malia, you are the CEO of Ontario Telescope, an e-commerce business created in 2014. Your past 2 years have been very impressive. You went from a company generating roughly $100,000 a month in revenue to more than $400,000 a month. You also share a lot of information on Facebook for the Telescope's hobbyists. Steve Malia, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Antoine. I appreciate you inviting me.
Steve, one of the most fascinating things about you is the fact that you run roughly a $5 million a year business as a side hustle. I don't know if side hustle is the right term to use here, but clearly Ontario Telescope is not your only job, your only work. So before we talk about that today, can you walk us through the foundation of your company in 2014?
Yeah. So, you know, everyone likes a good story, I guess, and the underdog. And I've always wanted to have something of my own to own and to run that I can say was mine. And in December of 2013, I saw an ad on Facebook. Actually, it was a post on Facebook from another manufacturer. And I liked it and I made a comment about something. And it was basically, they responded back to the fact that we're looking for people to sell this, right? So, hey, that maybe there's something here. So I did some more thought into it and before I decided to do anything major, I had to think of a name. So I came up with the name Ontario Telescope and Accessories, which works out because in the telescope industry, a word that's commonly used or an acronym is OTA, which is Optical Telescope Assembly. So Ontario Telescope and Accessories, OTA, it worked out. In the industry itself, a lot of it was mainly brick and mortar. And I knew the challenges with brick and mortar and the costs associated with it. And I decided it's time for a really good online presence. There was an online presence from another company who no longer exists in Canada, and they're on the other side of the country. So I gave it a go, but I wanted to do things differently. I wanted to change the experience for shoppers and add a little bit more to it. So that's essentially it. The drive was to have an online presence, an online store, and provide something you don't typically get with an online store, right? So you can pick up the phone, you can call someone, get advice, discuss what you wanted to buy, and so on. And it just grew from there. Very, very, very slow at first, but it kept going in the right direction. And here we are.
Yeah. So basically 2013, like you said, you saw something, you decided to launch the company in 2014. And clearly, like I mentioned it today, you are on the path of making roughly $5 million a year in revenue, which is amazing. Okay. And how have you been able to generate traffic at first? Did you start it by advertising your company a lot through, I don't know, Google, Facebook, or did you start it with content? I know right now you're doing a lot of Facebook Live, a lot of different content like that. So, but how did you start it to get this kind of traffic at the beginning?
So, you know, it's interesting that the how quickly things change, because Facebook Live wasn't even a thing in 2014, right? I learned very, very quickly the hard way on how much these big tech companies have control, if you will, over the flow of information. And I'm not saying that they're restricting anything in any ways, but you know, you have to play within the infrastructure that they set up through SEO, through, well, mainly at the time was SEO that I was concentrating on. And a lot of it was word of mouth, that I'm just trying to get the name out there. Facebook was a big part of it. And, you know, I think it took me about a year and a half to get even just 100 followers on the page. you know, because a lot of it still was new, right?
Yeah.
For everyone, for me, for Facebook itself, nobody really knew what was coming up with it. And then it was through just perseverance of doing that. And I did buy a few Facebook ads to kind of test the waters, and I was getting a little bit of traction, but I didn't know what any of it really meant. I didn't know how to measure that information that I was, well, how to measure the ad and what was coming out of it. I just knew that I had an ad and was generating traffic based on the Google Analytics.
And you were seeing sales.
And I was seeing sales, and things were going up, right? And I was advertising in the traditional media at the time, right? Print, right? That was my main go-to. But print, I found very quickly, and I'm sure a lot of other people have seen this too, print can be very slow and it's very expensive, right? And you can't measure it. That was always my biggest thing I didn't like about it, was you can't measure a print ad. Even if you were to use like a discount code or a promo code of some kind, if it was used once or twice, does that mean that your ad was only looked at one or two times? So I decided very quickly that print wasn't the way I wanted to continue. And then from there, it was just, you know, working with trying to find an influencer and getting the word out that way. And that worked out really well until, you know, a few years ago when I was contacted by yourself. I think went from there.
The cool thing is, it's always interesting to understand the different growth phases. So can you walk us through this, like 0 to 50K a month, after that, the kind of challenges that you got from there? Because clearly it's important for people who are listening today. It's important to mention one thing. It's not your only thing that you're doing for a living. You have another job. So finding the time to run this e-commerce business, it's not a drop shipping. You have all the products at your place that you're shipping, right?
Right.
You have a big office for these kind of things. So it's a real business and it's growing very fast. And you have another job at the same time. So can you tell us a little bit these kind of growth phases, how you needed to change your approach, how you needed to see things differently?
Yeah. So I should also mention, like, not only having another job at the same time, a full-time job that required some weekend work and overtime, but I also traveled for it internationally. And this is the cool thing about an online business, right? Is that you can do it from anywhere. You can operate that business from anywhere if you want to. That's a key part. If you want to, because you have, especially in any startup, you're putting your life into it, right? And every available moment that you have, you put into it. And that's what made it grow. I can remember going back nights, being up till 1-2 o'clock in the morning, answering emails, writing POs, doing whatever it needed to be done, updating the website and so on, counting inventory. I did everything out of my basement. I took over my entire basement and my garage and my front hallway. It was crazy. And it got to a point where I needed something. But with the technology that exists now, to be able to operate an online business is easier than it was. So if I'm traveling, when I was traveling and I'd be in Europe, you know, I set my computer up, I can remote in, I can print off my orders, print off the labels, and then somebody back home would be boxing them up and sending them out. It was a challenge to do, but it's just, you have to do it, right? If you want it to grow, right? The key thing was going up to that 50K a month plateau and sitting there for a while. That took, I'd say that took about a year and a half, to be honest, about a year and a half to get there. And it was, the big push was during the holiday season. That's the busiest time of year for anything in retail and resale. And this is where I found, you know, I mentioned about print being slow. There is a website that I do advertise on where I was buying an ad for $10. And it was mainly a classifieds ad. And I just put something in there because I knew people are looking to buy equipment. Well, why not new equipment instead of used, right? And that's where I put my promotions, like, hey, there's a sale going on and so on. And it got people going that way, right? Email was a big thing too. Once you build up getting that email list, emailing people out saying, hey, I got this in. Hey, we have this sale going. That was a big push as well. And that's what helped really climb things up from there.
And how were you feeling about this kind of growth? Because clearly going from zero to 50K a month in roughly 18 months, it's quite something. You start to understand that you have something in your hands. It's a real business. It's generating revenue. How are you feeling? How are you thinking about your old job, work, side hustle situation at that time? Are you thinking about focusing only on Ontario Telescope? Are you thinking about if the company reach XYZ revenue, maybe I can focus on that full time? How are you thinking about that at that time?
In the beginning, I never considered Ontario Telescope to be something that would be full time.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. In the beginning, the first year, it was, you know, I wasn't really making anything, but you know, I'll be making some pocket money. I'll be able to buy equipment cheap, right? Because it's my hobby and my passion. I like astronomy. That was always my intentions in the beginning. And then when I started to see, you know, consistently, okay, we're at $70,000 again. Well, we're at 75 this month. We're at $60,000 and we still have 2 weeks to go in the month. Okay, right? Things are strong. Things are moving. I'm getting vendors and manufacturers calling me now, right? Asking me to take on their lines. That's when I started to notice, like, okay, there really is something here. And that was probably after 2 years. And that's when I decided, okay, let's make a go at this. Let's actually push forward. But the one thing I held back on was I didn't want to have that accelerated growth that wasn't sustainable. I didn't want to be on that have that curve go straight up right away, because there were two things I knew I wasn't going to be able to handle. One was a sudden influx of inventory because I have nowhere to put it, and then the negative effect on cash flow. So that those are the things that we're always watching. And then it was just mainly getting involved and getting more into the community, right? Attending trade shows. Not only as a vendor, but as a spectator, going to the US to large events and stuff like that, just getting known. At that point, 2-3 years in, it's like, yeah, this is going to happen and it's just going to grow from there and start to become a real force in the industry. And then turn it into a full-time gig. I'm confident that it's just about there.
Yeah.
Another step and I'm in.
At 5 million, maybe it's time.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Maybe I should hire somebody too, because it's a lot of work for one guy.
Yeah. And that's the other point. That's the other point, right? You don't have any employees. Do you have any employees right now?
No, I've got my kids. That come in on a weekend when they want to make some money.
So they manage the orders.
They help me to keep things going here, cleaning up, organizing. My wife and I do a lot of the order management, getting things boxed up and shipped out. A lot of it is routine, right? And getting into a bit of a groove, knowing when you're going to be doing things, how long it takes to do something, and really kind of prioritizing the day, right? On what needs to get done, when, and like from the business end, and then on the logistical side, like getting orders out. It is time that, you know, I hire people, because now it's at the point where, okay, things are good and we can maintain this, but in order to grow, I need to start working on the company again and doing the business side of it. I don't think that we're in a startup phase anymore where I have to sleep 2 hours a night and that's it because I'm working all the time. So yeah, it's a lot of work. And at the same time, it's surprising, but I think it's a good, I don't want to call it wake up call, but a good example, right? For like when people say, oh, you do all this on your own. I'm like, well, yeah, right? And it can be done. Right.
Mm-hmm. While having another job at the same time.
While having another job, while having young kids and a family and a new puppy. And you know, I've got a young family and I've got a household to maintain as well. There are things that have to be done and family activities and so on. So it's a tricky balance, but you just kind of think, oh, you know what the goal is at the end of the day or end of the month or year, and you just go for it and do what you need to do. And it's kind of satisfying in a way to see that all that's getting done and I'm getting things out of it in the end as well that I 5 years ago, I wouldn't have had, right?
Yeah, clearly. And speaking of which, speaking of time management, so let's say for people who are listening, we have a lot of people who are in business, entrepreneurs. Let's say tomorrow they have a project, a little bit like yours. They have a passion. They want to start an online business. They want to start an e-commerce business. What would be your tips on time management? So how did you structure that at the beginning? Or even right now, do you work mainly during weekends, evenings on Ontario Telescope? Do you have a specific routine or it's when you have time?
No, I do have a routine. And routines are very important. And you have to be regimented in it and stick to it. You're going to have days that you're like, I just don't want to do it today. And you need that in order to reset, right? It's a mental thing as well. Having another job, having a full-time job, you know, that comes first. That's my responsibility right now, and because I'm responsible to someone. But, you know, I've got, you know, I get home, I've got time from, I come home, do my home thing, and then from like 8 to 11 or 8 to 12 or 8 till whenever I want to stop, right? That's when I start doing all the other work, answering emails, getting back to customers, writing orders, doing the website stuff. That's still when I do it. Weekends, right? You know, I'm available weekends. I have now started to give myself a day off because it's important. You have to have that mental reset in order to get to stay in the game. But, you know, there's one quote that has stuck with me for a while. And I look up to this gentleman, Mark Cuban, right? And he has a quote saying, you have to work hard enough, right? Thinking that there's somebody working 24 hours a day to take it all away.
Yeah. I love it. I love this quote.
And there are, you know, in my industry, you wouldn't think it, but it's actually quite fierce competition, right? Where I'm located, right? There's more telescope dealers in Southern Ontario than there is in any part of the world. Out of the 6 or 7 dealers that are in Southern Ontario, nowhere else in the world is there 6 or 7 dealers or even 2 or 3 dealers in a geographical area the size of Southern Ontario.
Are they all selling online?
Yeah, but I don't think at the same capacity that I am. Right? Okay. I shouldn't say that, but yeah, they all have an online presence of some kind. So the competition is fierce. So in order to stay ahead of that, right, you have to put the time in, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel proud to say that I put the time in and I'm seeing the successes of it, right? And it's really paying off. A year ago, Antoine, if you said to me, you have a $5 million company, I would have laughed at you.
No, but that's the interesting thing with COVID, right? A lot of companies suffered a lot. I received a lot of people on the podcast. They told us how they've been able to switch, complete their business model, their right. strategy, their vision, and slowly but surely they're getting there. Other companies like yours who's selling online, you know, it has been a game changer too, but in a good way, right?
Absolutely.
I guess when you see these kind of things, you need to make the most out of it because sometimes it right. can benefit you.
Yeah. So you bring up the COVID situation. When March hit, we were negotiating with UPS at the time for better rates. And then COVID hit and I stopped everything. I said, I said to myself, there's no way I'm going to be shipping the volumes that I committed to mm-hmm. during that time. And that was a bit of a mistake because I had stopped negotiations and ended it. And then things went haywire and I tried to get negotiations again. And they were saying, no, we can't do it. We're just too busy, right? It's not going to happen. So no one was expecting the growth that we're seeing to happen during these times. And the astronomy industry as a whole took a massive hit because we're not because sales have gone down. Sales have gone through the roof, yeah. like higher than holiday levels. And a lot of manufacturers have suffered from it because they can't keep up. They can't supply. So will a COVID affect us in a negative way? Possibly, but I think much later down the line than what I think a lot of other industries were hit from the beginning. I considered this hobby to be almost like a luxury hobby, right? Not everyone is going to want to own a telescope. Not everybody can afford to own a high-end telescope, but a lot of people they're not traveling anymore. They're saving thousands of dollars from not taking a trip. They're looking at ways to keep themselves entertained. Now keep kids entertained, have them learn something new. So astronomy actually took off as a major industry, if you will, right? People are getting into it. So it's been very, very busy in that regard, which is good. The key, it has been letting people know that you're still around, right?
Yeah.
And that you have stuff. And the fastest way doing that has been through Facebook ads, Instagram, online selling, right? And any changes you need to make, you can do instantly. And that's been the true power of online advertising, especially through Facebook. Because if I have an ad today and I need to change something or I want to show something else, it's a matter of click, 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 done, new ads out. And the people are seeing it right away and responding. And the conversions are just there. It just happens. Yeah,
of course.
Right? They come to the site, they see what they're looking for, they might see something else, bang. So for that small investment, the ROAS on it has been extremely high, right? And definitely worth the investment.
And the thing is, you're also very present sharing content, educating people, giving tips about astronomy, like you said, because it's your passion at the end of the day. And question for you, do you think that creating this authority presence, because clearly it's all about that right now. People look at your content, they're getting all the information that they need. How this content helped you to build your audience, to build a community of people who are willing to buy your products? Can you give a number to that? Did you feel it?
I don't know if I can put a number to it. And, you know, authority isn't really the word that I like to use myself. I like to use the word credibility, right? There are some really good dealers out in the world that do really well because they have credibility to their name, right? Whether it be through customer service, customer support, or both, right? On-time delivery, fast delivery. These are the things I think people are really looking for right now, especially. We live in a time when you can go online to Amazon, buy something and get it that day. And that's what people are expecting, and they're expecting the service to go with it. And that you're not going to get that from the really big companies like an Amazon. You can't pick up a phone saying, hey, can you help me out with this telescope? Mm-hmm. And you don't see Jeff Bezos doing a Facebook Live, right? that'd be interesting to see. And being able to show that you have credibility or create that credibility for your customers and for an audience through content to say, okay, this is what this is, this telescope or this accessory, this is how it works, this is what you can do, this is how you can upgrade it. If you have questions, you know, pick up the phone and call us, send us an email, you know, being accessible, email, messenger, on the Facebook page itself, through Instagram, right? Any available means of communications that's out there, right? If you can get on it, it's just another tool to reach more people, right? And again, to show your credibility. It lends itself to not only being credible, but being authentic, right? And I think that's a key part, right? Because I think authenticity is a term that gets used a lot incorrectly, right? To me, authenticity is saying what you're going to do and actually doing it, right? So by me saying you can reach me through these means and people reach me, I've done complete deals over Instagram Messenger, right? And because you make yourself available through it. And that again is through creating that content and getting out there and reaching more people, right? Through these social media platforms.
You mentioned other dealers. You mentioned astronomy industry earlier in the discussion. How is this industry going right now in their online shift? A lot of different industries, they've been hit because of COVID, because sometimes they haven't been able to do this shift, being able to sell properly their products online. How do you see the astronomy industry right now?
With the ability to sell online, that has greatly improved the marketplace in the industry and the reach, right? To get the people and for people to buy. In some parts of the US, there simply isn't an astronomy store that you can walk into. Some parts of Canada, there isn't an astronomy store you can walk into. In some provinces, there might be one or two. If you're living in northern BC and the closest shop is in Vancouver, it's a bit of a long drive. Living in northern Ontario, same thing. But the power of being able to shop online and then get it delivered to you is unprecedented, and just makes life easy for everyone. The key thing with astronomy has always been outreach, right? You go to any astronomy club. Just about any astronomy club, and they're in their mandate, it is mainly always outreach and promotion of astronomy and related sciences. Well, if you're going to be active in the community, you kind of have to take that approach as well, and wanting to reach out to everyone that don't have a store near them. So being able to to promote and sell to those people that don't have something nearby is something that, that I think is a monumental shift in the industry that we probably didn't see 10 years ago. Really, 10, 12, 15 years ago, the technology that exists now in order to do that simply didn't exist. Mm-hmm. I will, you know, to kind of add to that, like I've been on the internet, and I was having a conversation with somebody about this the other day, kind of going back down memory lane. I got on the internet in 92. There was a World Wide Web, but it was all text-based. There was no graphics. There was no domain names. Everything was through a university page. It was nothing like you'd see it before. I think people would get completely lost with it. And that was back when I was in high school and going through all those things that it really impressed me. And I remember I stumbled across, I don't even remember how I found these guys. I found a record store online in New Jersey through a Telnet portal that they had, and I bought a U2 CD through that portal. And you know, there's no such thing as security. It didn't exist. And I wrote a check and I mailed it to them and they mailed me my CD. I remember even thinking back now how powerful that was, because now I have access to something that I didn't have access to before, because you couldn't buy that CD unless you couldn't get that CD unless you were in the fan club, right? And I didn't have money to be in a fan club. Now we can do that with the astronomy industry, where we can reach people, right, that want to be in it, and we can get them what they need very easily. You can order something today, you'll get it by the end of the week, at the most. Anywhere in North America, it's a week, typically. I'm going to ramble a bit. I don't want to ramble and take up time on it, but that's where the power is, being able to reach those people that you normally wouldn't be able to reach, right? Being able to use those keywords in a Facebook search that you can come up and you can show them like, hey, I have this.
Yeah,
you've shown an interest. That you're coming to a whole new audience that you didn't even know existed. And I think that's where the power is.
Did you see other players following this path? Like, because sometimes in different industries, there are a couple of big players that understand the game and then they leverage it as much as they can. And then a lot of people are left behind. Is it the same thing right now with datascopes and astronomy?
Yes, it is. I would say that there are definitely a few players in the market in North America that are very good at leveraging social media, right?
Okay.
Leveraging email campaigns. There are some that are very good just on their website and you know, the upsell, the email list, having all the products available, easy navigation, right? There's a few companies that have gotten it and they've made those investments into updating their website, keeping up with modern web technologies and so on. I'm proud to say that we're one of them, right? And it's something that we do yearly. We go back to our hosting company that hosts our website and builds it for us and say, okay, what changes we need to make? Because we want to make sure that we're using the latest technology so that when somebody does a search, we're there. But there's only a few people that I think have gotten that. It hasn't come across fully, which in a way I'm fine with.
Of course. Yeah.
So if everyone keeps doing what they're doing, we're good.
Because your customers are there. We can see it, right? They are willing to buy big, expensive telescopes that can cost roughly $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. They are willing to buy it online. Sometimes people are ready, companies are ready to sell online, but the customers in their education, they're not there yet. It's for you, you can tell that they are ready.
Yes, you're right. It's coming along. 5 years ago, would somebody spend $7,000-$8,000 on a credit card on a website? Probably not.
Yeah.
Right. 15-20 years ago, if I told you I was doing online dating, right? I had friends that laughed at me, right? Like, what are you? Like, who does that? Now, if you're not doing online dating, right? I'm married and happy I'm not doing that, right? But people that are into online dating, that's the way you do it now, right? There's been a monumental shift. So I think, you know, if you think of it that way, there has been a shift in the mindset of people like, you know, pull out the credit card, make my purchase. It's going to be secure. The technologies are there to make sure it's secure. It's not taboo anymore to do that. And people are willing to do it. What's interesting is being able, you mentioned about education, right? It's not just educating customer how to use something, but educating that you exist and that you have something that they can buy. And that's where I think the power of the social media platforms and advertising through has come through. It is in building that credibility. Like, you can buy from this website and know you're going to get something. not only the product that you bought, but also the support with it. And I think that's what people are looking for. It's not just mindlessly buying something, but you're also going to get the backing for it as well. I like to think if I'm going to spend $7,000 or $8,000 on a website purchase, I have some kind of support for it.
Of course, because I guess it's mandatory at that point, right?
At that point, it's mandatory.
I'm pretty sure that these big purchases that will happen on your website, Steve, you will receive questions first. People want to make sure, but yeah, it just makes sense. And, you know, speaking of building e-commerces, online businesses, again, at the beginning as a side hustle, what would be the tips, the recommendations that you would give to someone tomorrow who wants to start an online business like you did 6 years ago?
First thing I'd say is go for it.
Yeah.
Do your research on the platforms that exist. There's plenty of shopping cart solutions out there, right? Make sure that whoever you're going to go with is going to have the features that you're going to be able to utilize. There's no sense paying for something that you're not going to have any use out of. Make sure that you have the ability, now is even more important, to integrate into these social platforms easily. If you can't do that, it's probably not the platform for you. From a technical standpoint, those are the things I'd be looking at. The other thing too, I've learned the hard way, was the ability to take that website data and transfer it into an accounting package. You've got the books you have to run as well, right? There's no sense of collecting all these orders on a website, have to print them off, to have to type them in one at a time again. You know, if when you're starting off, you got 20 orders, not a problem. When you've got 750 orders a month that you have to do that with, that's a lot of work, right? So it's worth the investment into making sure that you have that ability to link things together. After that, right, it's going to be a combination of patience, right? Because it will come. Put the time and effort into it, and it seems like you're doing a lot, but it will come. Remaining vigilant, right? Not becoming complacent, making sure things are up to date, making sure things are correct. And as I said before, you have to work as if somebody's working 24 hours to take it away from you, right? That means, you know, you're answering an email at 10 o'clock at night, right? If you have hours of between 10 to 5, right, and the phone rings at 9:30 in the morning, you still pick it up and you answer the phone, right? Those are the things that will set you apart from the other person. And then, again, builds that credibility. So, like, you know what? I'm going to place an order again on that website because I know that there's somebody there that actually cares of what's going on, right? That's looking at it. Those are the things that I would advise people on, and to believe in the power of social media. And have a very, very good social media strategy, right? Because really, without that, you're not going to be seen at all. You're just going to have a page on the internet that everybody will just surf right by.
Very interesting, fascinating, actually. And before I let you go, Steve, I always like to ask these kind of personal questions to my guests. Do you have a specific routine? Because, you know, between family, job, Ontario Telescopes, I guess you have other activities that you're doing as well. Do you have a specific routine that you try to follow on a daily basis before you work, after you work, just to make sure that you remain productive?
Yes. So I'll take you through two routines. My pre-COVID routine was waking up 5:30 in the morning every day. And four of those days, I'd be going to a gym and I'd join a class and I'd work out like a madman for an hour. And I did that for a couple of reasons. One, I needed to, because sitting around at a desk for so long, you know, has effects.
You go crazy.
And from a mental standpoint, I needed that, right? Just to kind of recenter myself, right? And to get my day going well and to put myself into a good mindset. Cause I always felt amazing after a workout like that. And then, you know, it'd be, wake up in the morning, do my workout, breakfast, get my day going, work, and then writing down that list. I'd actually write down a list of what I needed to do for Ontario Telescope and do it. So I knew what I still had to do if I didn't get the list done. That would go back to my list next day. It sounds corny. It sounds like a cliche thing, but it works, right? And I thought it was corny and cliche, but it works and it's simple. But you know what? The cool thing is when you do that list and the important thing is you get it done, you have to strike it off.
Yeah.
Because then you get that energy, like, all right, that's done, right? And you feel good about it and you go on to the next. So that's the routine. And having a family and young sons, still have to be there for them, still enjoying what they want to talk to me about, making time for them. that's important. So, you know, having to incorporate that into it, and, you know, that'd be like weekends and dinner time and watching a show or a movie with them, that had to be done. Like on a Friday night, it was movie night. In COVID times, I'm not working out because the gyms were closed. And I'm not ready to go back to Seattle, even though they've reopened. But it's still having to do the same thing, right? The routine still has to be there. Sometimes it's even just sitting down and picking up a magazine, a trade magazine or a newspaper or something, and just reading just to help center myself. That was something that I'd make sure I did at least once or twice a week.
Speaking of reading, I know you mentioned me, I think a couple of months ago, a couple of weeks ago. I think you like to read.
I do like to read.
Yeah, so tell me about that. Is there a book, business book, that maybe was the trigger of starting Ontario Tedesco or that helped you? No?
No, there wasn't a book that triggered me. It was more of the passion of wanting to, the desire to want and have some of mine.
Right? Interesting.
Funny story with that. One of the vendors we represent is called Explore Scientific. And the founder is named Scott Roberts. And we're good friends. And I found out when he started Explore Scientific, he did $36,000 in his first year out of his garage. Respectable, right? And like, I'm going to beat that. That was my goal. Right. That was my driving force. It was to beat that number. And I did. Right. And I told him and he thought it was great. Right. that I used that as inspiration, but I do like to read. I've been reading a lot of Simon Sinek right now.
Interesting.
And I can say that's probably changed a lot of my life. Right. Just the way that I approach people, situations. And wanting to, and also how I want to be seen as a leader in what I do. In his books, especially, I think there's a second one, Leaders Eat Last. To me, that was a monumental shift in my thinking, right? Of what a leader is, right? And then trying to take that into my business. And when I have a team of employees, the type of leader that I want to be, and then when I'm, you know, as things progress and I have my own leaders working for me, the type of leaders I want them to be, right?
Yeah.
To model the type of company I want to have, right? I want to be able to, and it goes back to saying before about educating people, right? So kind of wanting to show them like, I'm here to support you, right? And make sure you have what you need, right? And letting people learn what they're doing and to get more out of the hobby. But yeah, so that's what to get back to your original question, I do like to read. I like to read Simon Sinek. I'm reading his latest book now, which I'm enjoying. Trade magazines, I like to see like the latest and greatest, just because it, you know, that's the hobby side of me, the nerd in me. Like I read those magazines before I was a business owner. And I like comics. I like to read comics, right? Find me a Batman comic and I'm happy, right?
And you're going all in.
Yeah, it has to be Batman though. DC. If it's a Marvel comic, I'll probably put it down and find something else.
So you like comics. What about podcasts? I know you have a podcast, right? Do you listen to different podcasts actually?
I do listen to different podcasts. Nothing too serious because I listen to podcasts when I drive, right? Or I'll listen to YouTube stuff while I'm driving. I started to get into podcasts listening to Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs, right? He has a podcast. That's the way I heard it, right? And that inspired me to start my own podcast. So I started a podcast with another gentleman named Trevor. And he has a blog website as well in the hobby. And we were doing that for a couple of years now I'm doing it on my own with special guests, but I enjoy podcasts, but I like to listen to podcasts for myself.
Interesting.
Right? Just from an entertainment standpoint. If they start getting really heavy then or political or anything like that, I can't stand them.
That's actually very, very fascinating to hear. It's the first time that I hear business people telling me about podcasts only about entertainment. So I find that very interesting, actually.
Yeah. I think if you're going to be the lone wolf in a business, it is very important to find time for yourself, to recenter something for yourself, right? If you don't do that, then you're going to, and you start building up this angst, customers will see that. The way you answer the phone, and I've caught myself doing this, the way you answer the phone and talk to a customer, if you talk to them in a bad way, they won't forget. And you probably lost that guy or woman, right? You lost that customer. I remember when I was 17, I worked for a company called Computer City, right? This is when Tandy Corporation owned them. And neither one of them exist anymore. But they put us through sales training, 17 years old in sales training. But one thing that I remember out of that was, they're talking about, you know, how to deal with customers. For every customer you upset and they walk away unsatisfied and not wanting to deal with you, there's a potential for up to 300 customers that are going to be affected by that, that you could lose out on. That was back in 1997. There was no social media then.
Yeah,
now we have, you know, people can go on and leave you a Google review. That's there forever.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's so bad.
On Facebook, it's there forever, right? So if you don't find time for yourself, right, to reset and to decompress and to find something that works for you, and that's where mine is, like the comic books, people are going to laugh. Why is a 42-year-old man reading Batman comics, right? And listening to podcasts just for a hell of it, or watching a movie that's just funny for no reason. You know, people like, why are you watching that stuff? It's mindless, but it's funny. Like, it just, I don't have to think about it, right?
Exactly.
It's just a reset. And that's so, so important.
Of course.
Right, to do, right? So that, you know, you say you find it interesting. I think it's a necessity.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Especially in times of COVID, where everything has been completely different. And we need to be sure that we're finding time for ourselves, that we're good, that we're able to continue to do what we're doing on a daily basis, because it can't be easy to lose yourself in this specific time. So no, I get your point 100%, and I think it's actually a good tip. Maybe a podcast, entertaining podcast, can be a very good way to go, actually.
Absolutely.
Steve, before I let you go, how people can know a bit more about you? Can you tell us more maybe about your podcast? I guess if people are interested with astronomy, they can go on your website as well. So yeah, if they want to know a little bit more about you.
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is ontariotelescope.com. So if you're interested in a telescope and astronomy, by all means, please check it out, ontariotelescope.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and, you know, all the usual places. We're constantly posting and putting up any promos or something new came in or something's back in stock. Beyond that, you know, for myself, you know, it's a hobby that I've always enjoyed and wanted to be a part of. You know, just getting to be around people that have the same interests. I think that's common with anyone in any industry, being part of a club, whether it be formal or informal. Right? And I belong to a few of them, and just being active in the hobby that way. That's really me. You know, beyond Ontario Telescope, you know, I'm into manufacturing. We make parts and accessories as well under another company brand, which I'm proud of, because it's, you know, there aren't too many Canadian manufacturers in Canada, well, in the industry anymore. So Starfield Optics is another company. You mentioned a podcast called the Astrophotography Podcast. It can be found on all the usual places: iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. If you have a smart device, just ask for the astronomy podcast and we'll start playing, which I think is really, really cool to hear myself come out of a smart speaker. I can go on all afternoon talking about myself if you really wanted, but I'm sure you don't want to take up that time.
No, but that's cool. I think people should listen a little bit to your podcast. I did, if they want to know and understand a little bit more the industry itself. And yes, yeah. Steve, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today, because I think it's completely fascinating that you've been able to create, run, we said it earlier, a $5 million company as a side hustle. And I think a lot of people right now, maybe they have a job, they have something that they don't necessarily like, they have a project that they would like to launch. You are the perfect example that you can combine both. You can combine both, and you don't necessarily have to let your job and all the things that you're doing right now just to start your company. And I think this is a very, very fascinating story, actually.
Thank you, Antoine. Appreciate you inviting me on.
Yeah, so thanks, Steve. And for people who are listening today, see you soon for a new episode of Hypergrowth. Thanks. Bye-bye. Steve est la preuve vivante qu'un projet entrepreneurial n'a pas à se faire au détriment de son emploi actuel. Certains diront que Ontario Telescope est une exception en soi, ce qui n'est pas faux, mais tout de même, je pense que certains des trucs donnés par Steve peuvent clairement être appliqués si vous avez un projet en tête et que vous ne voulez pas chambouler votre carrière. Également, si vous connaissez quelqu'un qui aurait sa place sur le podcast pour nous parler d'hypercroissance, je vous invite à m'écrire personnellement au email suivant agang@j7media.com. Donc, A-G-A-G-N-E, à commercial, J, le chiffre 7, media au singulier.com. Et ça me fera un énorme plaisir de discuter avec vous. Je termine en vous invitant à nous donner une note de 5 étoiles sur Apple Podcasts ou votre plateforme de podcast préférée et vos commentaires sont également très appréciés. Sur ce, on se dit à bientôt pour un prochain épisode de Hypercroissance.